we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
Well, welcome to America Out Loud, the Pulse. It's Peter and Ginger Breggin, the only place in the recorded history of America and all time that you can hear us together. And the only reason we are here together is because Malcolm, who is in charge of America Out Loud, runs it, owns it, is it, sweet-talked her about how great she is. I've been doing the same thing, trying to get her on TV with me and radio with me, but it took Malcolm, and I'm forever grateful and jealous that he managed to get my wife to come work with me in public. Today, we have another person, reminds me in some ways of my wife, Ginger. She is a lifelong fighter for human freedom, for people who are being abused. Her name is Christine Dolan, and she has done work in an area in which I don't know that I would have the strength to do, human trafficking. She's worked in 140 different countries, helping inform the world, helping rescue people, helping save lives. She's also for many decades been at the heart of the old decadent legacy media, holding really important positions as an investigative producer over the years, including a few years back, political director for CNN. It is rare that anyone reaches such a position of influence or seeming influence and power and decides instead to pursue the truth. Christine, it is a pleasure to know you, an honor to know you, and welcome to the Pulse.
Well, thank you very much. You know, it's great. It's great to be with you guys, having read your book. But, you know, I also know, Peter, that you knew a really good friend of mine, a colleague in journalism, you know, for a long period of time, and helped her with some of her research. Kelly O'Meara, who's an old friend, very old friend of mine, who the topic we're about to talk about today, I realized when you just did your recent interview with Kelly, which she sent me, and I said, oh my gosh, you know, this is a big story when you were talking about that and you had posted your outline and your information about what's happening at the WHO later this month.
Well, it is good to have you here. And the Pulse, by the way, is on America Out Loud every Thursday at 5 p.m. And on the other 5 p.m. times during the week, you'll hear people like Peter McCullough. It is a medically oriented but broadly interpreted series that is on America Out Loud. And today we're going to be talking about something that Ginger and I have deeply dove into. It reminds me of days in the past when you and I would team up. Sometimes it would be your inspiration, sometimes mine, and take on several year-long projects. And one of the most important of those projects was in 1994, approximately when Ginger discovered, excuse me for any huffing and puffing I do along the way here, maybe to blow down the house of WHO as we bring everything we have to this subject. And it's, but I was starting to mention back in 1994 when Ginger happened upon a giant federal agency program, the Youth Violence Initiative, which was a eugenical program that was going into the inner cities of America to find out what was biochemically and genetically wrong with little black children that, quote, they would grow up and be so violent. The premises were all wrong. The motivation behind it was eugenics and racism. And I wasn't ready to take on a huge new project then. And Ginger went ahead and found a speech that was talking about this. And she went down, met with the Black Caucus while I was away on a trip. And that unfolded into a several year long project. We cut off all their funding, every bit of it. We got them to completely drop this eugenical program. We got them to cancel a big conference.
They reviewed the entire field of silence in regards to violence across the various institutes and so forth at NIH too.
So we are again into, I give you this as background because this is not unfamiliar, although it is scary in the degree of energy it takes, unfamiliar to us. What we have picked up on are two separate coming together programs from the World Health Organization. The one that we were talking about mostly up until a week ago was the announcement by Tedros, the Director General of WHO, that he was going to be making treaties with individual nations. He was announcing this to his executive committee. Online, he had all kinds of people from the World Health Organization. It has all 103 members of the UN are members also of its agency, the World Health Organization. It's a pretty huge organization. And in this speech, he talks about that the WHO will become the central organizing authority for all healthcare worldwide. Now, what you really need to understand is that this is beyond the mere talk about treaties and the talk we're going to be giving now about unleashing Tedros through new amendments from the United States to give him dictatorial powers anytime he wants. This is about not about pandemics. This is about a huge move toward locking down globalism in the world today, which was begun in real deep earnest with COVID-19. And as much as we see Tedros as a criminal Marxist agitator who's been accused in his own country of Ethiopia of hiding epidemics so as not to look bad politically, he is the darling of the Chinese Communist Party, and they got him reelected without opposition this year to be director general. That's the power of people like Xi Jinping, but also Bill Gates, who is the other side, the what we usually call the global predators. Gates stepped in when Trump stopped supporting the WHO and gave them more money than the United States had been giving them for a while. So we have this power of Bill Gates, which goes to then Klaus Schwab and to the World Economic Forum in a big circle, because we also have involved is the UN. And we describe all of this in our book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators. Even though we're moving away from COVID-19, we are talking about the global predators in that book in a way that applies to every single thing with the World Health Organization that's going on right now. So briefly, we had the original project we were working on with US backing and the backing of the EU and numerous other countries. Tedros was making a call for signing these treaties that would be binding under international law, whereby literally world health would be run by him. So you'd be giving up the sovereignty over your own healthcare in order to integrate it with something that they call Health One, which is one health for all the world. And this is written up on one of our reports on America Out Loud. And now we have written a report on America Out Loud called Biden Handing Over U.S. Sovereignty to the WHO. And that's about, and by the way, all this can also be found on our brand new website. The name is the same, Bregan.com, has at the top now, at the top of the new website is the urgent emergency of the World Health Organization. We're very proud of this website. Ginger's been working on it very, very hard with our webmaster and creating a whole new website, much more accessible. So right at the top now, you will find the urgent documents for the World Health Organization, and you'll find everything we're talking about here today documented there. Now, what has happened is that the United States of America, the Biden administration, working through the HHS, Health and Human Services, with cover letters from Lois Pace, who is the Assistant Secretary of HHS for Global Affairs, who reports directly to the head of HHS. And Lois Pace, a woman who was trained with her master's degree at Johns Hopkins, and listen to her, listen to what her master's is in. It's in justice and public health. The only thing that she needed to add maybe was mental health to make the most terrifying combination on the face of the earth. Public health and justice. It makes for dictators in public health like Fauci and like Tedros. The idea that public health is a avenue to justice is a complete bypass on the real issue, which is sovereign nations that are democratic and constitutional in their basis. So that's what has happened, is that in their amendments that they handed in secretly on January 18th, which we only learned about April 12th, it strips away previous restrictions on WHO, and particularly empowers the Director General to go into any country he pleases on the mere suspicion of a potential but undefined with an unclear source of what he considers an health emergency in that nation, which might spread to other nations. Words like if he considers and potential are inserted into this. And it specifically says he does not have to accept, he does not have to get guidance from the country in question. He doesn't even have to get their opinions. If they reject what he is saying, he can activate all the forces at his hand. He can get the World Health Organizations that deal with everything from financing to travel to economics to healthcare, to agriculture, and he can ostracize and get, and also in the World Bank, banking, we know what banking can do to a country. So I went a bit longer on this than I wanted, but this is the mission now that we are devoted to. And we've got about 3 minutes left, and I'm going to hand it over to Ginger. And then the next segment, I hope that I haven't driven Christine Dolan away, and that she will then just pitch in the next segment.
Thank you, Peter.
God bless you, Ginger. Let's go.
I think that the thing that we have to remember when thinking about this is we have just been through 2 years of a dictatorship combining CDC, NIH, Health and Human Services, and the World Health Organization. And what these new amendments are setting up is a permanence of not even the national level organizations actually deciding to and implementing activities, but an international entity that is not voted in any way in by American citizens, and in other countries, the citizens of those countries can come in and order about the health and public health structure, the infrastructure of any given nation, even if the nation disagrees. Now, it's not clear at all exactly how they're going to enforce this. And we can speculate about that later. But I'm sure that they have plans for that. It's quite apparent that there are plans that have been made for every aspect of implementing and then enforcing all of this.
The vote will be on May 22nd, and they only let us know about it April 12th. May 27th to May 28th at the meeting of the World Health Assembly, the governing body of WHO. We've got to stop this. We've got to bring so much pressure that Biden withdraws these. Meanwhile, we're going to be in for a long fight, because if it passes, like it likely will, because the U.S. is the author of the amendments with the support of 47 nations listed. So we're deeply in danger. It will be the beginning of the fight. If we don't get this withdrawn and it gets voted on, then the next thing they're going to do is the treaties, which are even more powerful in giving up sovereignty. So this is the fight we look ahead to worldwide. Christine, you got 30 seconds to say, okay. And then I want you to open the next segment, if that's okay.
Okay. It's complicated. We can get into the weeds of it. I don't think we're all finished with the research on it, because this is fast and it's moving. That document you talked about, Peter, that, you know, was happened in January, I actually found last night where there was Lois Pace actually made a statement.
Let the silent voices be heard. It was the rallying call that started it all. It's a wide spectrum of programming, from world and political news to societal and cultural stories. 6 amazing years of news blogs, informative podcasts, and great talk radio. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait, we wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cells Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Okay, we're back.
Christine Dolan, you just, as we were ending, brought up a new document that you have found from researching. Please comment on this whole thing? You've got worldwide
it's not really, you know, it's not explosive. It's just that, you know, the January document that you guys found that hadn't been released in its full contents. I did find that there was a virtual meeting from January 24th to the 26th with the WHO. And this was a statement that Lois Pace had stated on the virtual meeting on January 26th. And it just refers to the document and refers to the 47 countries that are involved with this. And it mentions the importance of equity and equitable access to medical countermeasures and the negative impacts of misinformation and disinformation related to the pandemic. Okay. And let me just say the one thing I've learned as a journalist, going back chronologically is really important. There was an international health regulations that was set up in 2005. So this document that we're talking about in 2021, the coming out of the Biden administration, and it is a document that basically edits itself into that 2005 health regulations, if in fact everybody votes on it. And since that was submitted in January of 2022, there have been amendments made to it in April of 2022, which I think alerted you guys to the fact that, you know, there's other subsequent documents that are out there. But I also found in my research in the last 48 hours of a document that was written by two people in the Biden administration in September of 2021. And it really is, it talks about universal vaccines. It talks about funding for the continuation of coronaviruses that have yet to be discovered. And I have, in my research for the last 2 years, on what is the engine that drives the train for the vaccine market worldwide, I have discovered that there has been, and I didn't really understand all of this until the last 2 years, and I'm not certain I am the expert on this yet, but I have been told, and I didn't know it then in the context that I understand it to be today, the PREDICT project that was established during the Obama administration under USAID was funded not just by the U.S. government, but other international governments. So they, people have to think of this in terms of the Batwoman research in researcher in Wuhan. She goes out, she looks from the bat caves to find a coronavirus. Those coronaviruses are taken to a lab somewhere. It's, you know, Wuhan is not the only lab on the planet that's doing any of these experimentations. But then they humanize some of the mice or some of the other animals to find out if these, if the specific coronavirus discovered by this consortium of international researchers and scientists is transmissible to human beings. That's kind of the base of that. Out of that, and through the cross-referencing of different documents and conversations I've had with people all over the world, what they want to do is create universal vaccines for different coronavirus families. So the first document that I ever saw the word universal vaccines was this September 2021 document that I just found, and somebody dropped by my house yesterday. But it talks about it. And it also, this is all part of the United Nations 2030 agenda. So the sustainable development. So it's a bigger international story. But again, when you chip away and go down to the bottom of it, how it affects each nation, it's basically pushing forth the health autonomy of nations and putting that responsibility into the hands of whoever is the Secretary General or Directive General, I'm sorry, of the World Health Organization. Now, we can talk about, you know, okay, so it's Tedros now, who would it be afterwards? There'll be a commission, you know, behind whoever the Director General is. And when people talk about sovereignty, health sovereignty, that will just be the first chip away, because according to the documents we have and the amendments being put forth for this document that was created in January 2022, it reads as such that if the head of the WHO so decides that there is any kind of a health crisis, and that's a broad word, this is beyond COVID pandemic, decides that there's something going on in the country, in a country, the director doesn't have to have the cooperation of the head of that country. He can just designate whatever policy he wants to designate. And it's not quite clear, but it could be interpreted legally that they could say, well, no travel to that country. Now, we all know that there are State Department travel warnings. There's WHO travel warnings on those sites. And they've been there for years. So that's nothing new. But not, I don't know exactly how you implement something like this, but it is noted in some of these documents that the WHO would maybe make a decision, observation, conclusion, and at the same time, they would bring the bevy of other UN, including food, you know, there's like five or six different entities within the UN that would be brought to bear for whatever decision the director general would be saying. And so, you know, this is sort of like, how do you implement it? Why would people think it's okay? Do the citizens of each country know that their leaders are joining forces with the WHO to determine a health crisis in the country? I mean, it's something that people need to pay attention to. I talked to some journalists in Australia over the weekend. They didn't know anything about it. I said, well, your country is in fact doing it. And we now know that some of the policies and even some of the issues that are showing up in the 2022 midterm elections, from Musk to this disinformation board that Biden wanted to set up since Musk, you know, dropped into Twitter, that, you know, from a financial point of view, that's even having an effect on some of these elections in places like Australia in the next couple of weeks. So, I mean, we're making policies here. There are decisions being made, and people need to understand that there is a concept called the Treaty of Westphalia. It was set up in the 1648. It was at the end of the 30 Years' War in Europe. It established national self-determination. Some historians disagree with that concept of being the bedrock of national self-determination, but when people talk about global forces, when people talk about one world order, when people talk about, President Wilson, League of Nations, United Nations, and people who think that one shoe fits all for every country in the world over one issue, they need to understand that that does not necessarily work. It's more on a local basis. It's more on a province basis. It's more on a state basis. And many times across nations, the provinces don't agree with one another. For instance, during COVID in Australia, you had different provinces who had different lockdown policies. So it's something that people need to pay attention to. And the fact that it's happening right now, I think, is interesting. I think it's very, very interesting that it's happening right now in the middle of May, at the beginning of our real primary seasons in the midterms.
Absolutely.
I hope that the people around the world will make this an election issue. It makes very concrete the goals, makes very concrete the goal of the Chinese Communist Party and of the globalists alike, like Bill Gates and Schwab, to destroy patriotic, democratic, constitutional governments because they stand in the way of globalism. And that's what this horrific attack on our northern neighbor in Canada has been about. That's what the attack in Australia is about. And it's the same thing here that's going on. Whether you look at the having no border so that our country will be flooded with a labor market that becomes more and more like a third world country, which is what the globalists want. They want a uniformly poor, struggling labor market to exploit. whether it's outsourcing industry to whichever country has the cheapest, and even like slave labor in China. It's all about the leveling on the one hand, so that this odd mix of progressivism and capitalism, which has taken over the globalist industries, which are most of the industries in the world, whether you're thinking about Xi Jinping, who works with them. It's about gaining control of power and wealth at the expense of everyone else. And that word elite that we've heard for decades is really appropriate here. It's very much about empires and people in charge of the empires. And I think it historically can go all the way back to the Chinese empires, all the way back to the Roman Empire, all the way back to the British Empire. And our country defied that. Our country said, no, we have sovereignty. You can't take any more of our sovereignty away. The only thing I believe that can stop this ultimately is to strengthen America as a constitutional republic, as a patriotic nation, and frankly, based on the Judeo-Christian traditions which motivated the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. It's that identity in this country which stands up to the globalists. So identities will be different in different countries. But really, the issue here is to get back to the fundamentals and to strengthen America again, to move ahead with an America that's a beacon of light of freedom. We may lose a battle along the way. I don't know how we can win this upcoming one, although we're putting our whole heart into it, to prevent the vote on May 22nd through 28th in Geneva, or to get the vote to get insufficient. They need a majority. They don't need two-thirds. And if we do lose that, then we have the grace period. There's 6 months more, during which time countries can change their votes. We've got that kind of thing ahead of us. And then we've got the treaties to fight. But don't lose track of what you go to the polls to vote for, what you go to the polls to monitor, and what you want to be teaching people around you. And that is that America, with its patriotic and central position of leading liberty in the world, is losing its own identity. And we've got to regain that. Like we say on our television show, refounding America, reclaiming the world.
Peter, if I can just jump in here too, and just add something. One of the reasons why I decided to take on the COVID story, I was covering the 2020 presidential campaign that turned into the COVID campaign. And as a result of my background in covering human trafficking, which is not just sex and labor on the street, ritual abuse, tortured child soldiers, it's also organ trafficking and medicinal trafficking. And when I, by the early spring, beginning of summer of 2020, when vax was the only answer, and I was talking to nurses across the country who were telling me that the policy of ventilators was killing people when they were told to stay home and only come into the ER when their lips were blue. And I was talking to doctors and scientists all over the world that were trying to get money to develop early treatments. And Fauci was saying that, yes, we could. We were working on that. And then he announced in April of 2020 that, remdesivir, which, I just happened to know because of a personal situation with one of my family members, remdesivir can shut down your organs. I said to myself, when somebody says vax is the only answer, that's like telling me as somebody who's, covered wars, that war is the only answer. That's not acceptable. So I realized then and there that there was a real indoctrination of what people should be believing. And at the same time, I'm not a science reporter. I'm a corruption reporter. And what I decided to do was take a deep dive and to develop sources in the pharma whistleblower world and to interview the clinical and non-clinical early rollout vaccinated injured, which I've done. And what I've discovered is that there is a huge commodification by the NIH, NIAID, FDA, CDC, and it's across the board, all over the world, of people being injured. It's not just the American pharmaceutical industry that's producing these COVID vaccinations, but it's also a shutdown of information for people to learn about. I mean, if you're really doing a study, and this is a real pandemic, and you don't want to see it happen again, there's certain things that you should be doing under normal circumstances. First of all, the world leaders have not demanded from China exactly what the hell happened in Wuhan. Second of all, if it really is true that it's wet markets, then every world leader should have called for the shutdown of every wet market all over the world. And we even have them here in the United States. That didn't happen. We had Morrison, who is the PM in Australia, actually demand that China be forthcoming with information. The Chinese pushed back on them, on him and Australia, even though Australia and China are large trading partners. We had world leaders come together, but they didn't come out with a statement demanding once again from China the information that is needed to prevent this, even though the Bill Gates and the Faucis and everybody of the world are saying, oh, this is going to happen again. Well, from a business model point of view, if you know something's going to happen again and you really want to prevent it, you don't really need a treaty. You need to find out what the hell happened in Wuhan in 2019 so that that never happens again. But then we found out, and I guess we have to take a break now.
1 minute.
Okay.
Go ahead. You have one more minute.
Okay. So we didn't have people demanding what was going on in Wuhan. And that's very important. And people should look at not just what we know, but what we later learned out, that there was a level of corruption of communication to publish Lancet articles in February of 2020 saying there was no lab leak, when in fact that was too early to conclude it.
Yes, there was so much corruption. Thank you for looking at all of those details. We're going to come back in for our third segment in just a few minutes.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day, yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
I want to put in a big word for healthy cell supplements. The GI tract is not functioning normally in long COVID syndrome. I'm convinced of it. There are multiple studies. We need a much better absorbed set of nutraceutical and vitamin products for long COVID syndrome, and that's Healthy Cell. They have an entire line that's safe and effective, can help people through the long COVID syndrome. I found the best way to use Healthy Cell products is use them every day, not on and off, on and off. Take them every day consistently. The Immune Super Boost, Focus and Memory, and the REM Sleep Supplement all have powerful effects in long COVID syndrome. Go to HealthyCell.com. And in the promo code, type in OUT LOUD for 20% off your first order. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Okay, we're back. Christine, you're really on a roll, and I'd love for you to continue.
Well, I wanted to just say, Ginger, you know, I've looked at the commodification, and I have concluded there, without a doubt in my mind, that this is medical trafficking, because it is the most unaccountable, unregulated medical experiment in the history of mankind to date. And there is a real push for vaccines. It's a real push for universal vaccines. It comes under the one shoe fits all, which is never true for anybody with any drug, any pharmacy, any prescribed drug. We know that some people, if they take Lipitor, have a reaction versus somebody who takes it who has no reaction. So this whole philosophy of absolutes, when Fauci has said These are safe and effective. That's a lie. They're not safe and effective for everybody. We have the evidence. The vaccine injured are the evidence of that. And we know that their blood in some cases has been turned over to the NIH. We now know that the heart inflammation has been acknowledged as of June 2020 here in the United States with J&J, Janssen's vaccination at that point in time. We know now later that the people who have been injured have neurological and vascular injuries. We know that the NIH knows that. We know the FDA, the White House, the CDC, the NIAID are fully informed as of May 2021, and yet they're not acknowledging it officially. So when people come out and say we're having these ailments and their doctors aren't responding, we know that the CDC has not given protocols to the hospitals to give the doctors directives of the treatments. We know over a longer period of time of these vaccine injuries, they're not getting over their ailments and their injuries. And we know that the treatments are so they're just not there. They have to go. In some cases, the treatments may work, but their medical insurance doesn't pay it. And in some instances, they have to go to alternative medicine, holistic medicine, and then they have to pay for that out of pocket. We know that some people, I've interviewed people who have lost children and spouses, 2 days after a shot, they roll over in bed and their spouse is dead. So, I mean, for any of these people that think that, you know, these are rare, well, they may be rare in the number of billions of shots that have been dispersed, but the fact is these are severe cases. And the fact that they're not being studied and they're not being acknowledged by these government agencies, at this point in time, there's no doubt in my mind that this is medical trafficking. This is a medical experiment. It's not a truthful, ethical experiment because they're not releasing the facts to the public. And that's what's serious about this. So when we're talking about turning over our health, and it's a broad definition of health, to sovereignty, to the WHO, who works with these agencies in countries who have lied to citizens all over the world, this is a holy X moment for citizens to wake up and say, why would you turn this over to somebody who doesn't know how to drive and they're driving in the NASCAR racing? It doesn't make any sense.
Christine has put forth a really broad picture. We cover this, folks who aren't familiar with this, we cover the descriptions that she's giving in our book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey. It's the deepest dive into this. It gives the background of the whole planning of COVID-19 going back at least 10 years to Bill Gates announcing this is going to be the decade of the vaccine, which was really an announcement saying billionaires of the world, powerful organizations of the world, leaders of the world, gather around me to make our fortune and gain power over the coming pandemic. That's what it was an announcement for. And in the book, we even have the master plan, which for some reason, in the middle of the night, my fingers were guided to discover Bill Gates' master plan for the whole program under his organization called CEPI. So we have this entire program evaluated going back to, literally Gates going to the UN in 2012 and getting them to agree to his program for how to finance the next pandemic with great wealth and power. And even progressives coming and saying, that's fascism. You can't do that. We have a giant fascism plot. The Chinese communists are more fascist now. They love working through corporations. They build their own corporations. This is what the Great Reset is. And we document it from top to bottom. Now we're looking at their conclusion that the World Health Organization was so successful under COVID-19 that it's going to press all of these new thrusts at our sovereignty through World Health Organization. Ginger has called it totalitarian health. And this is very, very much what we're looking at. We've got to get mobilized about it. And we've got to make a campaign in America that you won't take our sovereignty away under the guise of healthcare. This is what they did in COVID-19. And now they want to impose a permanent COVID-19 in much more detail, covering anything that has to do with a healthcare emergency. And then with the treaties, anything that has to do with healthcare, period. So we are facing, as Christine Dolan is saying, it's sort of an X marks the spot issue right now. We have enough time to use this in the coming November elections and to really be hammering on it, and then to hammer on it in the presidential elections. And hopefully, I haven't said this before, but to get a leader who will stand up to the COVID-19 people, to the global predators, in a way that we thus far have not had anyone willing or able to do. Because it is healthcare that they are going to use to control us. And it is the authoritarian, totalitarian healthcare that we, our whole nation, caved into under a Republican administration. And we just have to face that and say we need a new leadership that is going to say we stand up for America's sovereignty. We really do mean we're patriots. We really do mean we believe in the Constitution. And we're not going to let the charade, the farce, the fraud of providing better health care when what they're providing is totalitarianism.
I think that what we really need to do is we need to really just face that we are mortal. We're all mortal. And I believe that maybe especially in Western civilization, we aren't prepared to really face that very well. And I think we really have a situation where we have to face that. We have to face that there's going to be an end to our life. How do we want to live our life, and with what kind of dignity, and with what kind of freedom, with what kind of personal choice? And I believe that that is the fundamental starting point to making a personal decision and then making a decision as citizens that there are certain prices we are unwilling to pay for the ephemeral promise of not contracting this or that disease and not facing death. We're all going to face death. How are we going to face it? Are we going to face it like the Chinese minorities do now, where they live in fear of being sent to a gulag, and where they live in fear of actually being forced to give up their organs, sometimes to the point that their lives are ended when their organs are harvested. Harvested is such an awful word for what happens. These people's body parts are stolen and it ends their lives. We have to face that kind of thing. I don't ever want to go there. I don't want my child or my grandkids to have to make those kinds of decisions. I want them to be able to live in some semblance of the freedom that I've had in my lifetime. And all of us who are adults at this point in time are going to need to rally to come together and to actually prevent this horrendous totalitarian sweep that is being attempted now.
Let me add to that too, Ginger, that I gave I was asked to speak at a private dinner in Ohio last week, and Bobby Kennedy, myself, and a couple other people shared during the dinner. This is not a time for anybody to be on the bench. This is a time for everybody to be off the bench. This is a time for people, and everybody's going to have their epiphany moments. Some things are going to hit people. I know people who worked in hospitals in 2020, they didn't think anybody understood what was going on in the hospitals, and it was too much grief for them. But when it was mandated that they had to get a vaccination is when they gave up their jobs willingly.
All right. They just said, you know what, this has gone on too far, because we know that the treatment, early treatment, didn't work. So we're not trusting these people telling us that the vaccinations are going to work. So that's epiphany for one person that I met. But there's also epiphanies for people who are vax injured, who are in the healthcare industry, and they were damaged, and then how they were treated by their colleagues in their own industry after decades. That shocked a lot of people, and now they're basically pushing back. I think it's important for people to know that this is profit over people. This is a model of design to make it a reoccurring. They have to think of it in terms of Microsoft. If you've ever owned a PC, as I did for years, it broke down. I had to buy a new Windows. So this is a vaccine. And the vision of this for the business model is to have a universal vaccine for all of the coronaviruses families that have yet to be discovered. So, you know, my question has been, where is the moral and the ethics for scientists going out there collecting coronaviruses in the bush, in the wild, where, I mean, I don't know too many people that would go to a bat cave for a vacation. But these are people who are going out there to collect these viruses, then do whatever Frankenstein science that they're doing inside the labs to find out if that specific coronavirus can be transmissible to a human being, and somehow turn that into a business of vaccines for people. And they're thinking that if these vaccination shots hurt someone, they're just collateral damage. That's commodification of a human being. And that's thinking like war mongers. Well, there's going to be collateral damage. I had somebody in Fauci's camp say to me when I talked to him in June of 2021, after I started talking to vax injured, I said, so what do you think of the vax injurers? Oh, Christine, they're urban legends. And I said, whoa, wait a minute, urban legends. And then he said to me, look, if we have 6 million vaccinations and 325,000 blood clots, we have treatment for blood clots. I said, try that statement on somebody else. Because I said, I've been interviewing vax injured, and I do not know of anyone who has just blood clots. These are multiple injuries, episodic tremors, tetanitis in their heads. They have, and I can't even remember all the medical terms, but I mean, their feet are asleep, their arms aren't working, they're paralyzed from the waist down, they're losing their bodily functions. Some people are dead, some people are paralyzed. And if that's the way that we are going to look at this, that it's okay to commodify the human race, there's a larger conversation that we should be having about the commodification of the human race, because that is my question is, where are the Bonhoeffers of this generation? Mm-hmm. Because that is not where we should be going, and that is not where anybody should be accepting it, and that they shouldn't be doing this for money or political expediency. We need to have larger conversations and larger giants of leadership standing up and saying, no, this isn't going to happen.
It's the worst kind of collectivism, because there's this willingness to sacrifice individuals within this massive campaign to vaccinate everyone. Oh, okay, we lose 100,000. You got to break a few eggs to make an omelet. That kind of perspective has been disproven again and again and again. And what that means is there is a collective, a lack of looking at and respect for the individual, which wipes freedom off the map in terms of, and wipes respect for human beings off the map. When you're saying, oh, okay, we're just going to do something for all of humanity and we lose a few hundred thousand, no problem. It's frightening.
It's very frightening, because it you know, a couple of years ago, a couple of my godchildren told me I needed to watch The Hunger Games. And it was just one Christmas holiday, and I had some paperwork to do, and I turned on Hunger Games and I watched all the series. And I thought to myself at the beginning of 2020, when it was first announced as a, you know, health pandemic, that's one thing. But when they started shutting down, I said, no, that's economic. That's scary stuff. And now they're pitting people against people, and they think it's okay. We have world leaders. Even Joe Biden has, you know, basically said that unvaccinated are dirty. Who is he to say? I mean, we have pardon me, we have the Pope turning into a doctor, Fauci turning into a god with a little G, and Biden pimping for pharma.
Right.
Yeah, I want to end with just clarifying a little better just how dangerous the vaccines are, because we actually have very solid information. In the past, in any given year, there might be 100 deaths from all the vaccines combined in the country. Maybe 100, maybe 80, maybe 110. Within days, we had thousands of deaths from these vaccines. We are now up to somewhere in the range of 30,000 reports of deaths to the CDC, which is multiples times more all the combined deaths during all the decades of collecting information. We probably have about 30,000, I haven't checked, recently reported deaths, which could mean at a minimum 300,000 reported real deaths. I'm an expert on these kinds of things from multiple times in court as an expert on these reporting systems. And at best, one report would equal 10 deaths, but it could equal 100. So we have the federal government, every one of the agencies, ignoring catastrophic numbers of reported deaths at a time when a doctor could practically lose his license for reporting a death. So you got to think in terms of what the insurance companies are saying. Deaths are going up all over the U.S., and they knew it, and we show in the book they knew this was going to happen. They have planned on culling us, folks. We need to finish up now, but thank you, Christine Dolan. Folks, fight back, fight back.